Thank you very much. Brother Buntok. Everybody just looks at me. Your response should be, now listen carefully, your response should be, Mayo Buntog Sat. Mayo Buntog Sat. Now, what I said to you was good morning. What you said to me was the same to you. And then I say to you, Kamustaka. Kamustaka. I'm asking you how you are. Your response to me is Mayo. Mayo. That means I'm good. I'm fine. I'm okay. Okay, that's all the lessons I have today. There's a few words in the Bible that has a great meaning. And I think there are just four words. Be ye therefore thankful. Be ye therefore thankful. Today I'd like to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. I'd like to talk a little bit about blessings. Talk a little bit about being thankful for the things that we have. Brother Mike, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for that rooster. I got to tell you about the Philippines Thanksgiving. In the Philippines, there's no specific day in November where they celebrate Thanksgiving. It's celebrated any time in the month of November. So we went to Cabilao, and we had a service, and they were celebrating Thanksgiving. And then the last Sunday that we were there, we celebrated Thanksgiving in Panabo City, our headquarters. Now in the Philippines, when they have a service on Thanksgiving, they bring in offerings. There was bananas. There was mangoes. There was pineapple. There was vegetables of all kind, you know, piled all around the tables, around the pulpit. But one of the most strange things that this woman from the mountains brought in was a hen and a rooster. And they tied them to the pulpit. And it was my duty that day to give the sermon. And I gave a sermon, you know, basically what I'm going to give today about Thanksgiving. And we were probably three quarters through my sermon. I was just getting warmed up. Man, I was just going to get into it. I was really going to lay it on them. And all of a sudden, the rooster started crowing. He would crow and I'd get louder. He would crow louder and I'd get louder. Finally, I had to give up and quit. I could not outcrow that rooster. Needless to say, it broke up the whole congregation. I'd like to tell you a little bit about the blessings that I feel I have. You know, someone made the statement, I believe it was in the scriptures, I am of all men most blessed. And you're looking at him today. Most blessed. Blessed with a marvelous family. Blessed with a marvelous wife who stays at home while I'm in the Philippines. And I'm blessed with a people that I can come home to that love me. You. I'm blessed to have you. I feel very blessed this morning to be able to stand before you and talk about the things of God. I'm very thankful that God seen fit to call me into His ministry, to give me the opportunity to spread His gospel throughout the world. And that's what we endeavor to do. To bring the gospel not only to our people here in the United States, but bring our gospel to the world. The last days are upon us, brothers and sisters. The day when they will, when God will go through one more time and prune His vineyard. And we live in that day. We're privileged to live in that day. And it puts a responsibility upon each one of us here. Not only upon me, who might have the duty to go to the Philippines, but upon you too. To be a part of this pruning process. To be a part of telling the world about Jesus Christ and telling the world what you have and why you are thankful to be a part of His gospel. I'm going to turn over to Mark. Mark, the 16th chapter, starting with the 15th verse. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We've experienced a lot of those things in our travels to the Philippines. We've seen those things happen firsthand. So we know that God's Word is true, is written here in the Bible in Mark. It's been very easy for us in the Philippines. Oh, I'm not talking about being easy physically. I'm just so happy to be able here to stand and be in a coat and tie and be dry. It's so hot and humid there. And when I stand for this long and preach, I would be drenched. So I'm not talking about physical comfort being easy and physical things. I'm talking about being easy because God has prepared the way. Because God has touched the hearts of those that the missionaries go to. Brother McGee and I have no special talents in our own. There is nothing about us that would draw these people to us. But there is something about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Church of Christ that draw them in, and it was easy. It was easy. We now have three established locals. We now have 36 missions. We now have about 1,100 members in the Philippines. And it was it because of what Brother Mike and I did? No. It was what they did. The gospel of Christ grows in the Philippines because of the membership that is there. They talk to their friends and their neighbors. They should be an example to you and I. They do the member. They do the missionary work. They do the teaching. They tell about Jesus Christ, and they tell about the Church of Christ, what it stands for, how it is organized, and what's in it. Can't we here in the United States do the same? We went to the Philippines and they told us that we're going to a new town. We're going to go to Tibuog. And we've already prepared. We have our people there, and they're teaching them about the Church of Christ and about Jesus Christ. We went there. Was there 19, Mike, or 17? 19 baptisms that day. 19 baptisms, and they knew about us. They knew about the Church of Christ. They knew about the organization. They knew about Joseph Smith. They knew about the Restoration. They knew because our elders are doing what they are supposed to do. I sat in on a class given by one of our members who's not an elder. And he was teaching church history out of our outline history. And after he was finished, he gave a test. And I told our brother Mike, I'm glad I'm not taking that test. I've been in the church 50 years, and I could not answer all those questions that man had on the test. But you know what? You know what? They could. They could. That gives me mixed emotions, brothers and sisters. I am so happy and proud and pleased of what I see there. But I am afraid that we here would be like me and would not be able to pass that test. Wouldn't be able to pass that test. We need, here in the United States, to focus our minds, to focus our efforts in being missionary-minded, because there's a great work for each one of us. And that work is to bring just one soul into Christ's kingdom. The people in the Philippines are very, very dedicated. And I'm thankful today for that dedication. For they have to travel many miles. They either walk, ride a jeepney, take a bus, take a water buffalo, or a horse, to get into the meetings that we have. One day, we was at Panabo, and there came a flatbed truck. And this flatbed truck had over 60 people standing in the back. Standing in the back. And they had come from a little village called Pigdalahan. Pigdalahan, you have to hike 4 hours to get to a road to be able to get on this flatbed truck. They hiked the 4 hours to the flatbed truck. They drove another hour and a half to Panabo, where we baptized 37. And then they had to turn around and drive an hour and a half back and hike 4 hours back into the jungle. I would say that was dedication, wouldn't you? We sometimes find it hard to get in our car and go 5 minutes to get to church. And I'm thankful for their dedication. I'm thankful for our members in the Philippines. I'm thankful for Sister Lolita Alameda. Sister Lolita works herself to death. She's the secretary treasurer of the church in the Philippines. If there is someone in the mountains who needs to go to the doctor, Sister Lolita takes them. If they need medicine, Sister Lolita buys the medicine. If they need a place to stay, it's at Sister Lolita's. Dedication. Dedication. We have 3 elders in the Philippines at this time. Brother Prudencio, Brother Demetrio, and Brother Roger. 1,100 people to shepherd. Scattered from the north part of the island to the far south of the island. They travel every day. They're away from their families every day to serve the sacrament, to administer, to preach the gospel of Christ. Dedicated. And I'm thankful for that dedication that those 3 men have. Do the people in the Philippines, do they have problems? Absolutely. Are they perfect in their understanding? No, they're not perfect in their understanding. They're learning every day. But they have one thing, they have a childlike faith. And they believe what they hear. And they believe what they read. We've had very little problem converting the people of the Philippines to the Book of Mormon because they see truth. They see truth. I'm thankful for the healings that we've had in the Philippines. We've seen marvelous things happen there. Marvelous healings. And it has made an impression upon the citizens of the Philippines. We've seen one man that was healed who the doctor had said, go home and die. And he was healed. He couldn't even get out of his hut. And now he comes to church. Now he does his work. And the story with that is that I went to his house. And they were having a birthday party for him. It was his birthday. And people started coming in. And the yard was full. And the house was full. And they were standing out on the road. And I said to our brother Demetrio, who I was with, I said, what are all these people doing here? And he said, they come to see the man who could heal with his hands. And I said, Brother Demetrio, do I have a chance to talk to them? And luckily he said yes. And I was able to talk to him and tell him that that healing come from God. But it impressed the people in the Philippines that they could be healed through faith. And they have that faith to be healed. We spend time on administration everywhere we go. We took a trip this time. Went to a place we'd never been. Went to a place that Brother Mike and I was a little nervous about. I guess that shows that maybe our faith might be a little weak. And maybe we need to be strengthened. It was a place called Lake Cebu. When Brother Jay and I were over there the first time, Lake Cebu was a resort area down in the very southern part of Mindanao under Muslim control. And when we were there the first time over 2 years ago, two U.S. sailors and their girlfriends were killed at Lake Cebu. And our people said, we never want to go to Lake Cebu. It's not safe for you. So this was in the back of my mind when they said, we're going to Lake Cebu. And Brother Mike and I was a little nervous about it. And we asked our elders, you know, is it safe for us to go? They said, yes, it'll be safe. So we went to Lake Cebu. Talk about mixed emotions. I was so happy to go to Lake Cebu because we ended up with 44 baptisms. Have a whole new mission there at Lake Cebu. But it was such a miserable trip. It was terrible. We were stopped by police and army units 5 times. We had the license plates off of the van confiscated by the police. The battery went dead on the vehicle. The vehicle overheated and we had to stop and let it cool off. And we had a flat tire. And we spent 11 and a half hours in that van getting there and back, besides the time we spent there. But it was worth it. It was worth it because 44 souls joined the church. 44 souls who were looking for Christ and looking for the truth. And believe me, they recognize the truth when they see it. We talked to an old lady. In a little village of Tabat. Had to talk to her through an interpreter. Told her the story of the church. Told her about the apostasy. Told her about the restoration. Told her about the Church of Christ. Talked about the Book of Mormon and talked about Ezekiel 37, where it tells about the Book of Mormon and the Bible. Spent a little time telling her about this. She started squealing like a little kid. She was just so happy. She told the other old sister there that was the gospel of Christ. That was the truth. And that's what she was looking for. The truth. She said, "Would you come to my house?" And we looked at the lady whose home we were in, and she says, "Oh, she's my neighbor." Well, we thought, across the street, maybe, across the path. When we walk, quarter of a mile, till we got to her place. And I'm going to describe this place to you because it's typical. It's typical of our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. It was set up against a block wall. An arm and a half's length off the road. It was possibly 7 foot long. It was possibly 5 foot deep. That was her home. Made of bamboo. She had her sleeping. She had her eating. I don't know about bathroom facilities. I didn't see anything. But that's it. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful that she had that. And I'm thankful to God that she had the opportunity, even in her old age, to hear the gospel of Christ and be willing to listen. And be willing to join. Now, she has not joined the Church of Christ, but the following Sunday, she was in the services at Panabo City. And they have a long way to come from Tabu. I'm thankful for the blessings of God. I'm thankful for the opportunity that He has given me to be a part of the going to see how you feel about this. And I'd like you to come and tell me after how you feel about this. Now, Mike is cringing right now. He doesn't want me to tell this story, and he knows what I'm going to tell. But it's the absolute gospel. It happened. I wasn't feeling very well one evening. Been a hard day. I was a little upset in my stomach. At about 7 o'clock that evening, I said, "Fellas, you can do what you want. I have to go to bed." Yeah. And Brother Charles and Brother Mike, they said, "Well, we'll turn off the light." I said, "No, I'll be all right. I'll just turn over here. You won't bother me. I'm going to go to bed. I'm not feeling well." And they said, "Okay." So I turned over, promptly went to sleep. Now here's what happened. As soon as I went to sleep, Brother Charles and Brother Mike broke out the Oreo cookies. Now that's not bad enough. They ate them all. Now, do you know what Oreo cookies are in the Philippines? Where you just get fish and rice? I'm going to hold that against them. I'm sorry. And I promised them that I would tell everybody that I knew what they did to me. I'd like to tell you a little bit about, and I won't keep you much longer, our time's about up. I'd like to tell you about our churches in the Philippines, what they look like. The ones that we have that have been built are all built on the same model. 16 foot wide. And about 30 foot long. There's a concrete floor in it with a raised concrete platform for the pulpit. The framework is bamboo. The front is covered clear to the top with a woven bamboo. The back the same way. The sides have woven bamboo up about chest high on me, and the rest is open for ventilation. They have a homemade pulpit in each one. They have flowers around. They landscape the yard very nicely, very neatly. They have for chairs, plastic chairs. Now the plastic chairs that they get in the Philippines are made for Filipinos. And as you know, the Filipino people are a lot smaller than me. I've broken two or three of those chairs sitting in them. They are not very sturdy. But they have plastic chairs. We do have a few of our churches that we have bought from other organizations, and they're our churches. Usually they are block wall up about halfway with the top open for ventilation. They all have corrugated tin roofs, which is hot. Which is hot. No air conditioning. A lot of places, no electricity, so there's no fans, except this one. And so it's very hot in these. And they are packed full. We have enough members and enough visitors that they are always not only filling the sanctuary, but they are outside looking in the sides, wall-to-wall people. How far can we go in the Philippines? It's unlimited. Only limited by what we can take care of by being able to get to them and minister to them. From the Philippines, we can reach 2/3 of the world's population. So there's a lot of work to be done. But it's not only the Philippines, brothers and sisters, that the work needs to be done. The work needs to be done here in the United States. And I believe that we should use as our example those in the Philippines. They bring in their friends, their neighbors, their relatives. They do the work. And we need to do the work here among ourselves. I'm thankful of all the help that I have received from you. You have paid your tithes that allow us to be in the Philippines. You have donated. One of the things I would like to thank the Temple Lot Local for at this time is the excess Bibles and Book of Mormons that you gave me that I was able to take over there, and they appreciated them. They're crying for Book of Mormons. They're crying for Bibles in English. They all want to learn English. And our young people over there speak English. If you're under 20, you probably can speak English. If you're over 20, no way. And I'm thankful for you, for your generosity, for your love, for your concern for the work wherever it's being done. And I know there's work to be done, not only in the Philippines, that's just one part of it. But there's work to be done in Honduras, there's work to be done in Mexico, work to be done in Africa, work to be done in the Philippines. Wherever God wants us to go, we need to be ready to do so. And He will not forget us here in the United States. He has left the work to you and I here in the United States. Do not shirk your duties. Let's bring people into the Church of Christ here in the United States. Who would have thought there would have been 1,100 baptisms in less than 2 years? Just in one place. Africa has more. We are growing in the world. We are growing in the world. Let us grow here in the United States also. I want to read a poem to you from Helen Steiner Rice. And it kind of is the way I feel. It's entitled Showers of Blessings, and I know that the blessings have been showered down upon me personally. Showered down. Each day there are showers of blessings sent from the Father above. For God is a great lavish giver, and there's no end of His love. His grace is more than sufficient. His mercy is boundless and deep. And His infinite blessings are countless. And all this we're given to keep. If we but ask God and find Him and ask for a bounteous measure of this holy, immeasurable offering from God's inexhaustible treasure. For no matter how big man's dreams are, God's blessings are infinitely more.
For always God's giving is greater than what man is asking for. I feel that away. God has given me much, much more than I have ever asked for or even ever expected. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We indeed have much to be thankful as we enter into this week of Thanksgiving. And we do have a responsibility with all those gifts that God does give us. The work seems to be too large. But I heard the other day that if you took 12 men and each one of those went out and converted one soul each year and taught those people enough that they could go out and convert one soul each year, that the whole world would be converted in 30 years. So it's not too large for God, but it is too large for us. But we do have a God that we can be thankful for and a truth that He has shared with us. If you will, open your books to number 238 for our closing song.